You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK Community Radio. Hey guys, my name is Esmeralda Alverde Duarte, and I am a senior at Roaring Fork High School. I am an ASIAP intern. We are so happy to be interviewing Elliot Rutledge to have a conversation about her awesome freediving and underwater photography endeavors for today's public affairs show.
I'm Zenobia Todd, and I'm a sophomore at Glenwood Springs High School. I'm also an ASIAP intern. Elliot comes from a family of adventures and is carrying that tradition. She's been traveling the world from a young age and currently lives in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. Thank you so much for joining us, Elliot.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be here back in Colorado. I've been in the heat in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, so it's always so nice to be in the mountains once again, visiting friends and family. I guess you guys want to know a little bit of background of myself. So I grew up here in the valley. I was born in Glenwood Springs, but live in Newcastle, Colorado, so a little bit down valley. And I was also a graduate of Glenwood Springs High School in 2016. After that, I went to college in Colorado Springs, graduated with international business degree and marketing and geology. Then COVID happened and I became an accountant, which I hated. And then shortly after that, I decided that I wanted to leave the US and start my grand adventures. And so I moved to Roatan, Honduras in Central America. And there I lived with my cousin, who is also a freediver, and she has her whole family there, and a couple of operations. So that was kind of the big shift from living in the US and then traveling the world. However, before that, I was fortunate enough to travel a lot with my parents throughout middle school and high school. I did some study abroad programs as well, so I did have a lot of international experience prior to moving.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you've had quite a bit of exploration and, you know, traveling done. So you grew up in Newcastle, right? So how did your childhood shape your love for adventure and exploration?
So I grew up, in Newcastle, and the house that I grew up on was on a farm. So we had chickens, horses, all the animals, dogs, cats. And then I was always traveling like within the state of Colorado, doing like mountain biking, skiing. I was a huge skier, and now I am a telemark skier. My parents were a huge inspiration for how I was able to kind of develop this super athletic, adventurous lifestyle. And then also my uncles and my cousins are sailors, freedivers, spear fishermen. So I kind of had that side of me as well whenever we would go to travel to like ocean destinations.
That's awesome. That's really amazing. So for our listeners who might not be familiar with freediving, and I'm kind of like new to it too, can you just explain more about what it is and like why it's so captivating for you?
So freediving is a form of basically glorified snorkeling. You can think of it like that, but anything that has to do with breath hold. So a lot of people know of scuba diving, and that's used with a tank and you're breathing oxygen the entire time. Freediving is the exact opposite. You have no tank, so you're just diving down to whatever depth you choose on one solo breath. So you're using your lungs to just, hold your breath and dive down.
That's crazy.
I know.
I'd be like 3 meters down, and then I'm like going back up.
A lot of people do kind of have this fear of the water in general, and then also adding on like the breath hold to it. It can be very intimidating for a lot of people, but it is something very natural that we have. We are mammals, so as mammals, we actually have these certain adaptations from centuries ago that allow us to be naturally aquatic. So therefore, when you are in the state of apnea or the state of breath hold, it actually relaxes you, calms down your heart rate, everything kind of gets slower. So it is something that comes very easy once you get past that kind of fear aspect.
I just want to ask you, like, how much training did that take? Like, what did the training entail?
So interesting question because it kind of depends on your disposition to water. Like, if you've never swam before in your life, it can be like a lot of training involved to make it to a certain level. However, we do like a level one course for any of the agencies you go with to learn freediving. Usually takes around like 3 days. So you can like learn the safety behind it, learn the proper breathing techniques, and then learn the equalization techniques, which is the number one thing you basically have to be aware of for freediving, is how to compensate the pressure in your ears. But yeah, this normally takes like 1 to 2 days of like studying material and then practicing it in the water. Obviously, it's a whole process because everybody's different, but
yeah,
that's
totally
general.
Yeah.
So did your love for doing this primarily start on your trips, or because Colorado doesn't have much ocean that I know of. So how did you get into this? Yeah.
So going back to my family, both my parents, but a lot of it to my uncles and my cousins, they dropped out of high school, did the whole exploring the world on their own terms kind of thing. We're sailing for quite a while, literally all over the world. And then along with that, spearfishing and learning freediving from very young ages. So with all of those stories of being like literal pirates, I was super inspired. So every time we would go to visit my family in those places, we would go snorkeling to the reefs or wherever we were, and I would always try to be like diving down, or even in the pool here, like the hot springs pool in Glenwood, I used to have those toys where you like sink to the bottom and then you like try to go get them and bring them up. So things like that kind of got me like into it, and then just in general being super active in whatever like extreme sports I could find. But it wasn't until I actually moved to Roatan where I properly started training. I was actually going to go for my scuba instructor certification, but instead I followed the path of freediving because I kept saying the freedivers without all the equipment, and I was like, that seems a little bit better. So yeah.
Don't have to carry as much stuff around.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in the past few months, I've heard that you've been an announcer at 3 major freediving competitions. So can you share some insights into these events and like what you do as an announcer?
Yes. So I started announcing for freediving competitions 3 years ago. And the last 3 that I went to were kind of the bigger stage out of these last 3 years. So the first one was Vertical Blue, which is based in the Bahamas, Long Island, Bahamas, literally in the middle of nowhere, but the diving conditions are amazing. And there, the event is basically like 9 days long, so 9 days of actual diving, and there's around 40 athletes that are competing. And these athletes for this competition are the top athletes in the world. So it's an invitation-only competition. So this is where you'll see most of the world records being broken, national records, continental records for the different nationalities. There is around 40 athletes. All of them are invitation-only athletes. So they're the top of the world. And I believe there was around 28 countries being represented at this competition. And so every day these athletes are able to do one deep dive of their announcement, and they have to announce that the day before. And so a quick little background to understand this better. In these freediving competitions, these are constant weight competitions. So that essentially sounds like how it sounds. You have a consistent weight all the way down and all the way up. And there is 4 categories that the athletes can choose from. The first category, or one of them, is free immersion, where you're just pulling on the line all the way down and all the way up. The second is constant weight bifins, so you're like normal scissor kicking all the way down, all the way up. And then there is no fins, which basically you look like a frog kind of kick swimming down and swimming up. And then there is the monofin discipline. So this would just be constant weight. And that's like the really beautiful like dolphin mermaid kind of kicking that you've maybe seen some videos of. So out of those four disciplines, the athletes can choose which one to do for that competition day. And then if they want the next day, they can choose a different discipline to get for the like overall awards. And so the athlete also, the depth that they do depends on their personal best that they have done within like the last 3 months. That's generally the rule. So if an athlete has done 100 meters, then they could technically announce like 103 or 105 meters. The rules of how much above you can announce depends on the competition, but usually it's like 3 to 5 meters above your personal best. Sometimes athletes don't make it and they like black out on the surface or under the water. There's a lot of safety procedures in place to make sure that there's no accidents or further injuries regarding that. But yes, that's a little bit of insight of how the day goes.
So what is your specific role as an announcer? What do you, like, do you... Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, so my role is to literally describe what is happening during, before, and after the athlete's dive, after their performance, along with a little bit of background of the athlete, what country they represent, how long they've been freediving, whatever information I can give that the general public might not know. So for a typical day of competition, I do my homework and I check the start list of that day and I say, okay, there is 25 athletes competing today. I have all of their names, their discipline that they're doing, and then the depth that they announced. So with this information, there's about 5 minutes between each athlete's dive, and then they go in like consecutive order, usually shallower to deeper dives. So then, yeah, with my little notes, my homework page, I announce like, okay, for example, we have Michael Smith going for 93 meters in free immersion. His dive time will be 2 minutes and 50 seconds. And so that kind of sets up the stage for what the athlete will be doing. And then at a lot of the higher profile competitions, such as Vertical Blue and then the other one, CMAS competition, there's a Dive Eye, which is an underwater drone robot with a camera that's able to film the athletes all the way down to the bottom plate and all the way back up.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
It's like, really cool. What's the thing? It's like instant replay or whatever for like the other sports.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Exactly, yeah.
I have a question. Like, this is actually so interesting to me, but you said this was in the Bahamas. So like, what makes the diving there so good? Like, why is it there specifically?
Right. So this specific location in the Bahamas is called Dean's Blue Hole. So it's a blue hole that was created by like glaciation and erosion and some other theory causes. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, this blue hole is 202 meters deep. So there is plenty of depth for all of the athletes. And when the low tide comes in, the water becomes crystal clear to the point where you don't even really feel like you're in water. It's really, really incredible. And so at this moment, it becomes some of the best diving conditions you could ever ask for, because the visibility is incredible. And the water is salt water, so you do float a little bit more, but there's ways to compensate for this. But so it is one of the most magical places to freedive.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm going to look it up now. Yes, I'm so interested.
Yes,
that's so cool.
Catch Zenobia and us, like, trying this out at the pool later. So currently, right now you're visiting, but you live in Playa del Carmen, Mexico.
Mm-hmm,
and so what motivated you to make this what I would consider a pretty big move? And how has your life influenced your activities there?
So this is where the love story comes in. When I was living in Roatan, Honduras, and I got the first position as the commentary person at the Caribbean Cup that was happening. This was almost 3 years ago. One of the competitors there, who I had been following a little bit on social media and at the previous...
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. No, it's true. Like, I had only really watched, like, a couple of competitions where he was in. And so at this competition, I was thinking, like, oh, like, maybe he'll be here. Maybe I'll get to meet him. That would be super cool because he had, like, broken quite a few records already. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he showed up. And so Pepe is his name. And I hit it off very, very strong, the competition over the days. And then after the competition was over, he went back to Mexico and I was in Roatan. And to be honest, Roatan gets a little bit boring after the big event leaves. So I was like, I don't know what to do with my life now. And then Pepe messaged me and he's like, hey, do you want to go on a spearfishing trip with me in Mexico? And I was like, yes, I yes. am sold. Mm-hmm. Let's go. So I went about, I think, a month later, and I had my ticket for 2 weeks, and I ended up staying about a month and a half. Fell in love with Mexico, fell in love with him, and then I decided to get my stuff from Roatan, pack up, and make the move to Mexico. So that's how I got there, and now we have been working together in his school in Playa for the last two solid years. Yep.
That's amazing. I love that. That's an awesome story.
That is really cute.
Yeah, I love that. So can you compare and contrast the lifestyle and experiences where you are in Mexico now with your lifestyle, how it was here, or while traveling for competitions?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, Mexico is very different than here. The food is amazing, mm-hmm. so definitely visit if you haven't. But as far as the actual activities, where I am specifically Playa, there is a lot of active people. Which can be a good representation as here as well. Obviously, you don't have the mountains there. We're super, super flat. So a little bit different activities. But something that I really, really vibe with is that all of our freediving is done in the cenotes, which is fresh water. So here in Colorado growing up, I was always swimming in the mountain lakes and like kind of snorkeling around or whatever. Yeah. So I was very, very used to that. And it's much colder too because it's like snow melt.
Yeah.
So then being in Mexico, in Playa and in the cenotes, the water is also quite cold and crystal clear, just like the water here. So in a way, I have that kind of like
awesome.
Reminder whenever I'm in the water and it's like, oh, mm-hmm. I don't feel so out of place. I mean, I love the beach. I love the ocean too. But after a couple of days of having like salt and sun on me, I'm like, mm-hmm. ooh, please take me back to fresh water.
Yeah,
please,
totally.
I need it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that comparison.
What do you prefer swimming in? Like, is there a difference in your swimming in how well you do or something?
I much prefer fresh water. One, because it's just something I've been used to throughout my whole life, but also fresh water, you sink more, so you have less buoyancy. Salt water, it has much more like particles and everything in it, so you float more. And usually it is a little bit warmer. And something interesting about freediving, we have this thing in our bodies called the mammalian dive reflex. And that's basically like if you've ever gotten in the shower and it's really cold and you have that like breath that mm-hmm. inhale, but then after that kind of like relaxation, or you've heard all the hype about ice baths lately, mm-hmm. that's basically triggering your mammalian dive reflex, and it's a way that your body kind of vasoconstricts and then lowers your heart rate. So it's a natural way to relax like literally every part of your body. So if you do have anxiety or anything, freediving is also very good for that. Fun fact.
So first of all, I want to say that's really interesting, and it makes sense, and I'm going to start taking cold showers now, but so you showcase all the work that you do on social media, and how has this platform helped you in reaching and inspiring more people?
Yes, so social media has been super interesting. I specifically do, like, most everything on Instagram, mainly because the function to create reels is so well planned out on that platform. But when I moved to Roatan, I had like 600 followers, something like that. And to be honest, followers don't really mean a big deal to me. However, when I started posting more consistently and things that people wanted to live like vicariously, the speed at which my account grew and the like influence and the messages and like collaborations and stuff was insane. I mean, the first year it like was growing steadily, but then this year with all the competitions and having like a face to the announcing for the competitions, my account grew even more, like exponentially for a couple weeks at least. And the engagement has been honestly shocking because I didn't really think that I would ever become like a micro influencer kind of thing, which I still don't consider myself an influencer by any means. Yeah. But I probably get like 10 to 12 messages a day just in my DMs on Instagram of saying like, wow, your content is so beautiful. Like, I watch it at work when I'm sitting at the desk and it just like relaxes my mind. Aww. And then sometimes when I do like a story of myself, like speaking about where I am or like a video of like, hey guys, look at this pretty view.
Yeah.
I get so many messages of they're like, oh my God, how are you able to do this? And like, I would never be brave enough to like leave where I'm at and like my work and everything. But like, you're so inspiring and like, I want to do it.
That's amazing.
It's crazy that I've had like that much influence, and like you see all of the huge influence out there with like millions of followers, and I have like 6,000 or close to 6,000, which isn't a lot, but still the amount of impact that I have for like 10 people a day.
Exactly.
It's so gratifying. I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, I'm so happy I can like put a smile on your face. So
exactly.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Social media is often like, I don't know, demonized in some ways. And I understand that it's not perfect, but I do like the aspect that it has in connecting people. And it sounds like you're doing just that. So a lot of kids and young people are really inspired by this story. What message or advice would you give those young people who aspire to follow their passions and live adventures like you do?
So I would say, for one, definitely like get educated in whatever form you want to, because that will take you very, very far on your travels or whatever your future plans are. But the number one thing I would say is go after experiences. Even if you're like super introverted and like you don't know what to do and you're like anxious about taking like the next leap of faith or something, I would say, like, and I know everybody says this, but just do it. Like, when I left the US, I had no idea really what I was doing, but then it ended up changing my life so much. And when I look back at it, like 4 years ago, I was sitting at a desk doing accounting, listening to podcasts of freediving and stuff, and just like imagining that happening. And then now that I'm actually living it every day, I'm like, I am so glad I actually did it. And a lot of times it seems like I have like a lot of money and I'm traveling everywhere and doing all this stuff. But in honesty, I've been so broke in so many moments doing this. So it's not like you need this like monetary value to like be able to do this stuff. You just have to have a passion and properly follow it and make connections, talk to people. You can do all the college, all the education you want to do, but if you don't talk to anybody, you're not getting the true proper experience. And like, you can learn so much from just one person, one conversation. And sometimes it may not be like an enjoyable conversation, but sometimes it's what you need to hear. So talk to people, try to be social, try to connect with like international audiences for sure. Especially in this day and age, super, super important. So, yeah.
That's so that like inspires me, and I love that. And like, it makes me really happy to talk about like how you were sitting at a desk, like dreaming of, you know, what your life may be. And then you made it happen. And like, That's so inspiring. Before we go, can you share your social media channels and just ways that listeners can follow your journey and adventures and stay connected with you?
Yes. So my Instagram handle is erutledge8. And there I also have like websites and links followed up. And then in Playa del Carmen, the school that I work alongside with Pepe is Blackfin Freediving. And there you'll also find a huge array of like social links and everything. You can also find me and my announcing on YouTube if you look up ADA Championships and CMAS Championships, those channels on YouTube. I'm there doing the commentary. Also, if you want to like watch a proper freediving competition, it's very, very interesting. They're super long. They're like 4 hours, but you can kind of like zoom through and like see the world records or the different disciplines and like learn a lot from it. So, yeah.
Is there anything else, like any final words you'd like to share with our listeners?
Try freediving. It's amazing. You can do it for all things, anxiety, happiness, whatever. So give it a try and always freedive with somebody, always with a partner.
Okay. We have just spoken with Eliette about her awesome endeavors in freediving and underwater photography. Thank you so much again for coming today. I really was so invested the entire time.
Thank
I appreciated
you guys.
It so, so much. And you just heard Esmeralda and Zenobia with the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK. Have a great day. Thank you.